Pardon My Take is brought to you by Pardon My Take. This episode, we would like you to nominate us for the Podcast Awards. You go to podcastawards.com, podcastawards.com, sports and recreation category. Nominate Pardon My Take as your favorite podcast. You don't have to vote yet. We just need to get nominated so that we get into the tourney. Once we're in the tourney, we know we're going to win because we have the most loyal listeners out there. So just go to podcastawards.com, nominate us. Hank, how much time do they have?
April 30th.
April 30th. That's tomorrow. No, that's today.
Do it now.
Do it now.
Pause.
Do it now.
And then come back.
And then still subscribe and tell all your friends and leave a review and do all that jazz. And let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. It is Friday, April 29th, the NFL Draft.
Weed! Stay off the weed!
Jeremy Tunsil, before we even get into what happened, the fact that a guy's name is just Jeremy with an L, outrageous.
Pretty. I think it's a pretty cool name. It's the name of the cigarette company from The Simpsons.
There you go. People forget that.
People do, yeah.
All right, so Laramie Tunsil. Everyone's sitting down, ready to watch the draft. It's about 15 minutes before the draft happens, and then boom. Twitter, Laramie Tunsil's official verified Twitter account, tweets a video of Laramie Tunsil hitting a gas mask bong deep, too. Nice lungs on him. Like, if you're scouting him and you're like, damn, that guy can play deep into the fourth quarter.
That guy can play at altitude is what it tells me. Yes. It's like you see Marshawn Lynch warming up with the oxygen mask before a game. Like, Tunsil should just own this and come out for the first game with a gas mask on.
If I had that gas mask on and I was forced to take a bong rip, I would just freak out and die.
Right. You're like claustrophobic with smoke.
So, right. So that guy can be in a tight place. He can play in altitude.
Mentally tough. Yeah.
He's got deep lungs. He can play deep into the fourth quarter. I think I didn't see anything on that video that was a red flag to me, except for the fact that it was like a hardcore weed thing.
The big red flag to me is the fact that he has all his passwords like really easy to hack, because later someone hacked his Instagram account.
Okay,
too.
So all right, we'll get to that. But first, let's stay. I want to go through the weed thing. Just break it down real quick. Okay. Your draft pick being a weed guy, I think that you don't want to have a draft pick who's never tried weed. Everyone has a friend who's never tried weed and he's a loser. And like when you pass the joint around, you're like, fuck, this guy's a narc. Mm-hmm. You start thinking about it. You can't win with a guy who's never tried weed.
Right. I would say that actually Carson Wentz seems like a guy that's never tried weed before.
I don't think that's a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
I think if you look at his tweet history, the fact that he lives in North Dakota. Weed, they don't have
you
North Dakota
weed.
They just got the movie Titanic like last year.
You can get meth and that's it.
Yeah. Good meth though. So weed guy, you don't want a guy who's never smoked weed. I don't think you want a guy who's taking a gas mask bong.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I judge weed users by their like level of paraphernalia that they have in their house.
Right.
Like if you have a little glass bubbler or just like a small pipe, that's totally normal. And I get that. If you're the guy that like goes out and spends $1,000 on a huge bong, like that you can fill up with ice and all this weird stuff.
Right.
Like, at that point, it's become a problem
for
me.
If part of your like living room furniture set is marijuana paraphernalia, that's a problem.
If you can smoke out of something that you also sit on in your house.
Or you like rest a book on and that's also the thing that you smoke out of every day.
Right. It's the bookend that holds your Bible up on the shelf. Yeah.
And I think that that's where the bong gas mask kind of, that thing just sits out. That's a conversation piece.
Right.
You know, people walk into your house, you're like, oh, did I show you this gas mask that I smoke weed out of.
Right.
So that's a little too far. And I understand why people would be upset about that. I initially spin zoned it. I said, this is a perfect time to tweet it because he won't fall in the draft. That was a really dumb thing for me to say.
I think it probably was. Like, you gave general managers a little bit too much credit.
Yes.
To like just let a little bit of weed use slide.
Yes.
That's not how the NFL works.
All right. So the second part of this, Laremy Tunsil also had his Instagram hacked. And there was text messages that basically showed that he was getting paid at Ole Miss.
Or that the coaching staff was paying like his mom's electricity bill.
Right.
At the time.
So this went from a Laremy Tunsil problem to a Hugh Freeze Ole Miss problem very quickly.
Right. So everyone's speculating that it was his stepdad at first that did it. And there's no proof behind that whatsoever, except that there was like a lawsuit being filed. I guess his stepdad's bitter that he's
right.
getting cut out of some of the sweet ass draft money that he's getting. So that's part of the speculation. Now, if your family members are doing that to you, that's pretty low. Like just trying to ruin your entire life.
Yeah.
Then I also heard that maybe it was a former financial advisor that he cut ties with.
Okay.
Like right before the draft.
Okay.
But that tells me that you have really terrible password protection skills because
yes.
you don't give your financial manager your password to your Instagram and your Twitter account.
Or you have one password for everything and it's really simple.
And he just guesses
yes.
it. Like he knows that you're dumb enough to make it a really easy password to guess.
If it is a stepdad, I think there's a little silver lining in this for America. Because you can basically, like, I'm sure everyone hates their stepdad. I don't have a stepdad, but, you know, for the most part, I think stepdads aren't very well liked.
I think stepdads get a bad rap.
Yeah, but again, it's like, you don't, like, I just want to call you Terry. I don't want to call you stepdad. Like,
right.
you know, or dad. Like, leave me right. alone. If this stepdad really hacked Laremy Tunsil's every account he has, he's by far the worst stepdad of all time. So every other stepdad in, like, relation looks okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would.
This is spin zone for stepdads of America, by the way.
I'll say this. He's probably on the couch tonight. Like his mom is probably like, okay.
Yes.
All right. You're going to have to stay in a separate room.
Yes.
Like, we're not, that guy's not getting lucky tonight.
No, no. But stepdads of America, basically, you got to print out the Laremy Tunsil story and put it, slap it on the refrigerator and say, hey, listen, you might not like me. You might not respect me. You're going to live in this house. And I'm not Laremy Tunsil's stepdad.
Yeah,
you know, because that's every stepdad's said that. Like,
yeah.
It, while you're in my house, it's my rules. That's
yeah.
like a stepdad thing to say.
Yeah.
And then look at the Laremy Tunsil story. I'm not him.
I think it also gives stepchildren of America something to point at and be like, see, stepdad's
all. Oh, they're all rotten. Right.
Like, this is your classic stepdad.
Right. He's just looking to fuck
you
over.
Embarrassing you on TV.
PR 101 for Laremy. It's a tricky one.
Yep.
I'll say that. Just to start off, the fact that he has a stepdad in this like issue actually works to his favor because I think right away PR 101, get a stepdad that could somehow screw you over mm-hmm. and then be like, yo, my stepdad's a dick, automatically a sympathetic figure. Because Laremy Tunsil took money, he smoked out of a gas mask bomb.
Allegedly.
And everyone is like, poor Laremy Tunsil, we feel so bad for this guy
right.
because of the stepdad factor.
Okay, my PR 101, and this could really be for anybody that gets in trouble for doing anything. This is a pretty universal technique. He needs to make a commercial where he gets dressed up as an old person, like with old people makeup, like dye the hair a little bit gray and then put on some weird clothes, then go out to a park and like be all waddling around and interacting with kids. And then enter into like a flag football game and absolutely destroy everybody.
People love those.
And be a huge athlete. Everybody loves that.
People love
those. It's such a heartwarming tale.
Because you don't know. You're like, oh man, do they know he's an old guy?
And then at the end you're like,
it's Kevin Love.
And then I think to myself, you know, I'm never going to judge an old person again.
Yeah.
It really.
Because it could be Kyrie Irving drinking a Sprite.
Right. Exactly. it's a great technique. And I think that Laremy should probably consider doing something like that.
I like that PR 101. So Laremy, he got drafted by the Dolphins. All is okay in the short term. I mean, he's
yep.
he lost a little money in the I should say all is not okay in the short term. All will be okay in the long run. He got drafted by the Dolphins. He lost a few million bucks. I mean, who? Come on, who
and
doesn't?
He got to play in a state that doesn't have a state sales tax. Is what happened.
Yes.
So, like, did Laremy Tunsil leak this on his own so that he didn't have to play for Baltimore?
Ooh. Now we're thinking. There also were some of the best hot takes Oh, yeah. You had the people come out of the woodwork.
Greg Hardy take. You, anytime Greg something Hardy, happens in the NFL, you have to compare it to Greg Hardy or else you lose your membership in the PFWA.
Ray Rice hit a woman and only got two games. Laramie Tunsil smoked a bong rip and dropped eight slots.
Right. And it's like, yes, these are both accurate statements.
Right. But thank you.
Are people saying, like, can you imagine if a video had come out right before the draft of him hitting a woman? He still probably would have gone in the top five. And it's like, no.
Dude, no. Lael Collins didn't even get drafted.
He wouldn't have been drafted at all. But it's a great take to make, and you have to do it.
And Whitlock had a fantastic take. He was more concerned about Laramie Tunsil's chains that he was wearing instead of the weed.
Now, a little behind the scenes here about watching the draft up in Chicago. Dan actually had the exact same take as Jason Whitlock.
Yes. I vocalized it, I didn't tweet it.
Big Cat vocalized it, and then I said, you know that Jason Whitlock just had that same take, and then Dan, he was quiet.
I was quiet for a few minutes, yep.
Now, another thing that people aren't talking about is that Robert Ngundiche was hanging out with Laramie Tunsil the day that he jumped out of the window.
Yes.
And nobody knew about that until Ngundiche was being interviewed, and so he implicated.
He's a rat.
He's a rat.
He's a snitch.
He's a snitch, and he got tons of.
He's a Becky.
Him.
Did I use that right?
You can use Becky. He's a Becky. Major Becky. And then he gets drafted by the Cardinals. I think Bruce Arians is building a cartel out in the desert. He's got Ngudice. He's got Tyrann Mathieu, and now he's got Chandler Jones.
Ooh,
like, yes. Can you imagine those defensive meeting rooms? It's gonna be like a Star Wars movie theater back in the 70s with all the smoke going up.
It's like whenever everyone had a friend who went to Arizona State, and they come back with like glow sticks around their neck with a pacifier and like a sideways visor. And you're like, have you been in? And like, no, I don't do drugs.
Sounds
okay.
Like, you know, a lot of people.
You're on Molly right now, dude. So that's what Arizona's going for. To wrap up Laramie, though, he stole the draft. It wasn't even close. Jared Goff had maybe a second. Carson Wentz had a second. Laramie Tunsil was talked about the entire night. And you had the bonus point where you had the nerds like Schefter have to talk about someone smoking weed. I still don't think Schefter watched the whole video. He was so uncomfortable. He's like, the alleged Laramie Tunsil video. It's like, dude, he took a huge rip and then ripped the mask off and was like, hi, my name's Laramie Tunsil. Almost like the old, what were the casting couch when the girl holds her like state-issued government ID next to her face. Laramie Tunsil basically did that in that video.
Another real winner of the draft was HaHa Clinton Dix from a couple years ago. You'll remember he had that joint that was next to him on the couch.
Yes.
So now, basically, HaHa Clinton Dix looks like a big pussy right now.
Yep.
Like, at least have an apparatus for me to make a story.
Yep. All right. Other draft notes. It was kind of a – I mean, Tunsil really took the whole draft. Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott showed up with his abs popping.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a dress shirt that goes down to just above the belly button before.
It was a cool move. That also got some hot takes. People were saying that's too showy.
I think it's cool. Can you ever imagine, like, what white guy could pull that off and make it look cool? I don't think that there's a white guy on Earth.
Zac Efron.
Do you guys think that's a trend that's going to start now? Like, ODB is the first person with the hair?
I'll tell you what, I hope not, because I'll be in a lot of trouble if you got to, like, just walk around with your abs out.
Right. And maybe it'll like make you get into the gym if you see this like coming down the pipeline.
I don't think so. I'm just gonna like suck it up and just be the fat guy.
You'll just be old school.
Yeah, just abs popping. The Giants selected Eli Apple.
Yep.
Chris Berman, right on the ball. Good to see that Berman still got it. You know, there's been he gets a little shit every now and then. He had Eli the Big Apple.
Yeah.
Instantly.
And what was funny was right after it happened, like, he took a couple seconds to gather himself because, like, this is what he had dreamed about all night. Yes. He was like, if all the stars align properly, Eli Apple is going to the Giants, and I'm gonna make a walk-off take on it.
The only thing that was missing was a Rod Stewart song. Otherwise, it was just vintage Berman.
Right. It was great. And, like, you could tell he was super proud of himself after he said nice for the old guy to get a win.
So I want to quickly go through some of the guys. We won't name names, but, like, some of the things you saw in the draft, some of the attributes you liked. I know that I saw a lot of guys with good pad level.
There was some excellent pad level. There were a lot of guys that had motors, especially like Joey Bosa.
Yep.
I'm told that he's got a motor that just doesn't quit.
Yep. Three down guys. you need a three down guy. You don't want to have a two down guy right. in the draft. You want a three down guy. Saw a lot of those guys.
Couple tweeners.
A few tweeners.
Now, as far as tweeners go, like, yeah, you can be really good at one position in college, but you might not be able to play in the NFL because you're not big enough. So those guys are tweeners.
I liked seeing that guy from Oregon. He gets into passing lanes. That was big. That was a big thing. Yeah, he gets his hands into passing lanes.
A lot of length.
Length
across the board.
Length and motors, always important to have when you're drafting.
Yeah, I heard, I think it was Joyner on ESPN say, now if you turn your draft board sideways, this is a guy that you take right now. And I'm not 100% sure what that meant.
That's like, when you run out of stuff.
But I'm 100% on board.
Berman had one that he looked good getting off the bus. I always like guys who look good getting off the bus because people who follow me on Twitter know I'm really big into the shot when the team gets off the bus.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, the team is here. Like, thank God the Cowboys have arrived mm-hmm. 2 hours before the game. That's a big moment. Yeah. I think that's a big intimidation moment. So drafting someone who especially his strength is looking good coming off the bus, mm-hmm. fantastic.
A couple glue guys out there. You got to have some glue guys.
Yep.
Just keep everything together in the locker room.
Gruden did his usual. He basically like had something to pick apart about every single player except the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like Eli Apple, to note one, he was like, I really want to see him clean up his hands. His hands are not good.
Hip fluidity.
Yeah. And then Carson Wentz is basically Joe Montana 2.0.
I was looking at the panel on ESPN and you can tell that things are about to like fade away. They need to inject some youth into this group because it's been the same group for the last like 20 years. And now two of them are starting to have like really noticeable balding, like yes. weird hairlines. Like yes. Kiper used to always be the hair guy.
Kiper used to be the
hair. You could set your watch to Mel Kiper's hair. And now he's going like half bald. One side of his head is going bald and the other isn't.
I got a good people forget that for Mel Kiper. People forget that Mel Kiper eats a slice of pumpkin pie every single morning.
That's sounds cool for like your first week. But how sick would you get?
I don't think it sounds cool for the first day.
I'm a big fan of pumpkin pie.
I eat pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving, and that's it.
Well, that's very bizarre. So they need to clean up their act. They need to get some new blood onto that set because it looked like that John Gruden wanted to kill everybody next to him.
Either way, I think we can all agree the draft is fun to talk about leading up to. It's fun for about 4 or 5 picks, and then you're just sitting there reading, like watching a roll call.
What do you do if you're a big mock guy and you've been spending the last like 5 months
and then Tunsil happens?
Doing mocks and then Tunsil happens? Well, no, even if Tunsil doesn't happen.
No, I think if you're a real big mock guy, you do like a mock 16.0 4 seconds before the draft starts with the updated Tunsil news.
So do you have,
so it's on record.
Do you have your highlighter with you? Is
yes.
like highlighter NCAA
yes.
tournament guys?
Yes. The mock guys are crazy.
Well,
pour
one out for the mock guys because yeah. – they've been putting in a lot of work for the last couple months.
They put in countless hours for the last year, and then some guy smokes a bong out of a gas mask, and poof, all their hard work is gone.
You can't plan this stuff out in advance.
Poor mock. You know there was a mock guy somewhere who was just like, fuck. Shit! What? Why now? Why does this have to happen now?
Yeah, he had like everything accounted for. Like, if Chip Kelly had a heart attack and died, he had that contingency plan. But you cannot game plan for guys smoking weed out of a military surplus store supply.
All right. Speaking of the military weed, what about SeatGeeks?
It's a great question, Dan. Let's talk about SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online? Most sites make it complicated. They all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. SeatGeek's the only place I ever go to look for tickets to a game or a concert. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. I just used it the other day to look at tickets for the Cubs, but guess what? Turns out we got some sweet seats, right?
Yep.
Did we use SeatGeek for that?
We could have used SeatGeek.
I did check it out on SeatGeek beforehand, before I knew you had tickets. But yeah, it's taken all the work and hassle out of shopping. They put all the tickets available on other sites, and they pull them into one place so you save time and you never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. And what's even better is every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish. They never try to trick you with huge fees. on the checkout page. So Part of My Take listeners get a $20 rebate off this SeatGeek purchase. $20.
New. It's new.
Brand new. To get your $20 rebate, you go to, first of all, you got to download their app. And then you go to the settings tab. You click add a promo code, enter promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E. And SeatGeek sends you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code TAKE today.
All right. Great job. Now we have maybe our most highly anticipated interview.
I'd say so. I mean, this guy is...
He was hard to track down.
We spent about 6 hours trying to track down Peter King. We went out, we bought him beer because we know he's a big...
Turns out he wasn't even in Chicago.
Beer guy, so now we've got a six-pack of Chicago or six-pack of Revolution wit beer in our fridge.
Yep.
That we have to drink instead of Peter. But yeah, he's a good guy, good interview. And so check it out.
So this is PFT Commenter here. I've got Big Cat, my co-host, with me as well.
How you doing, Peter? Thanks so much for joining us. I know it's a busy day.
No problem. How are you guys?
We're doing well. You know, I've got this six-pack of wit beer from Revolution that I bought for you, thinking that you were in Chicago.
Where is that brewery?
It's in Chicago. You all should try some Revolution. Revolution Brewery in Chicago is my favorite brewery, so check it out. Anti-Hero, IPA. Wow.
So now I've got the sixer of wit that I'm going to have to drink all on my own.
That's a shame. It's a shame.
It's a crying shame. So we're going to talk real quick about the draft and then let you go. I guess, first of all, you've got the two quarterbacks going, 1 and 2 probably. Which one of those has a better chance of being a franchise quarterback?
Well, I would look at Wentz's long-term prospects, especially if he can sit the first year and learn. Thing I fear for Goff is being thrown to the wolves right away with huge expectations, big city, new city. The learning curve is going to be very, very fast for him behind a poor offensive line, the average receiving core. I would be much happier if I were training a quarterback this year for one of these two teams if he could sit for a year instead of getting battered. For that, that's one reason I really like Wentz. I think both of them have a chance to be good, but I think so much today in the NFL depends on the surroundings.
Moving from the draft to a topic that's obviously talked about all the time, if you had to put your life on it, does Johnny Manziel start another game in the NFL?
I would say no. I think he'll try. I think he'll come back at some point. It'll be a great redemption story. But the problem is, I think, you know, 2 years ago, I was just talking to Mike Mayock about this a couple of weeks ago. 2 years ago, sat at the scouting combine 2 years and 2 months ago and listened to this guy who said everything right. I mean, he fooled everybody. He fooled a bunch of teams in the NFL. The Vikings were thinking seriously of taking him too. To me, I'm not saying he can't do it, but his skill set was going to be difficult anyway. I think somebody will give him a chance at some point, but I just don't think he's going to make it. I think he's got a little bit of the Tebow thing around him right now, that his skill set fits college football and not the NFL.
You've been on record talking about your vote for the Hall of Fame and disqualifying people for things only based on what they did on the field. If Bill Belichick were to get caught cheating, doing something like Spygate again, do you think that that would impact his Hall of Fame status down the line?
It'll impact his Hall of Fame status. I mean, he's already got the black mark from Spygate against him from 2007. But I feel the same way. I mean, I feel this way about a lot of this stuff. When Eddie DeBartolo first came up for the Hall of Fame, I was skeptical, because of they got caught with a salary cap violation during his ownership. He had the New Orleans or the Louisiana bribe scandal with the former governor there, Edwin Edwards. So you wonder, that obviously caused him to get a suspension. So you wonder about that. And then I'm just a firm believer in looking at the entirety of a person's career. And so you would have to judge the black marks against Belichick's career with the incredible career that he had, one of the best coaches of all time. And then, because you just can't say, if one thing happens, I'm not voting for this guy. I don't think that's fair. And so I think you have to take a guy's career in its entirety. That's one of the reasons why, in my opinion, it's a good thing you have the five-year rule where, you know, a guy's out of the game for a few years before you pass judgment on him.
Yeah, it's like a waiting period before you buy a handgun. I like that.
Peter, you're a Starbucks guy. I'm a Starbucks guy. I drink it all the time. Any comment on Brian Cushing saying Starbucks is for chicks?
Well, I'm a chick then. I mean,
yeah, I guess we're both chicks. I'm just two gals talking it up.
I'm a chick through and through with my quad grande macchiato. But, you know, I always come back to this. John Runyon, the old tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, once learned late in his career, he'd stop at a Starbucks, drive-through Starbucks on the way to home games, and he would just say, give me 9 shots of espresso in a venti cup.
I love
and
that.
he'd take the nine shots, and he'd just sip it and get ready for the game, and then he'll have finished it right before the game. And, of course, after he goes to the bathroom for about 10 minutes, then he goes out on the field, and for the first half he's great. And then I'm not sure, but I think he regularly took naps at halftime.
So a little behind-the-scenes info here. We interviewed Florio on Monday, and he gave us a tasty little nugget about what goes on at Football Night in America. He said you're above making phone calls in your underwear, and he specified that you wear boxer boots. Can you confirm that?
Yes, I do. That's exactly right. Well, sometimes if the phone rings and I'm in the middle of getting dressed or getting undressed, and there I am in my shorts, Mike Florio is treated to me talking to a head coach in the NFL with nothing on but my Under Armour boxing shorts or whatever they are.
I'm going to write some fan fiction about this later. It's going to be great.
You need to do that. It's quite a beautiful sight.
50 Shades of Maybe is what I'm going to call it.
This is a little bit of an oddball question. I've always wondered, does Roger Goodell have like a certain smell? Like, is he a cologne guy? Does he have that barbershop smell? Does he have a must that you know Goodell's in the room?
I don't know. I've never noticed a scent on the commissioner of the National Football League. Probably a lot of people do think that I would know. I would not only know his scent, but I probably buy him his scent. but that just isn't quite the case. That's a disappointing thing, I know, for people to know that I don't buy him his cologne or know what cologne he uses. But I must put my right hand on a stack of Bibles and say that.
There it is. All right, we're going to wrap it up with our final two questions we always ask all of our guests. The first one is, most famous number in your cell phone?
Most famous number in my cell phone.
Or most proud of, the number you're most proud of. Springsteen, do you have Springsteen?
No, I don't have Springsteen. Are you kidding me? I don't really have many famous people. Well, you know what? I have John Legend in my cell phone. Does that count?
Oh, okay. You want to give him a call?
He's a huge Bengals fan. Well, we talk a lot about football. He's a gigantic Bengals fan. And no matter where he is doing a concert in the world, he makes sure that he watches the Bengals on Sunday, whatever time zone he's in.
That's something I did not know. All right. Final question. It's questions I ask, you don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. The famous Milwaukee tweet, how close was the host to crying, for real?
I don't know. He had a frown on his face like he didn't know. And that thing has gotten a little bit, I mean, it was obviously ridiculous that I tweeted that. But what happened was I just sat down at dinner on my training camp tour. And our driver, Andy DeGore, who was just started working for the MMQB at the time, looked at me and he goes, hey, Robin Williams died. I said, what? Robin Williams? And so just then, I was late getting to dinner, and the guy, the waiter was waiting there. He said, sir, would you like anything to drink? And I turned around and I said, my God, Robin Williams died. He just killed himself. And the guy looked at me like, oh, I mean, he was utterly, he was shaken. He was, you know, and so probably it would have been best if I swallowed that tweet, I guess. But, you know, sometimes I just don't know what's best.
I think you get a little bit of a bad rap for that because I know what breaking news, like the rush of breaking news, So the rush of telling someone like about a celebrity death, it's exhilarating.
Well, it is, but maybe you just don't tweet it.
Yeah, right. That's the lesson.
Everybody grieves in their personal way. Maybe not to grieve on Twitter. That's the lesson that we learned.
Yeah. But I'm happy that we found out that the host didn't actually cry. That makes me feel a little better.
All right, Peter, well, we know that you've got a busy day of interviews today, so we're going to let you go. Once again, appreciate you appearing on the show. And
okay,
I'm a big
guys.
Fan of your website, the MMBM.
Hi, good. I'm glad you guys are. Take care.
Thanks so much, Peter.
All right. Thank you so much, Peter, for joining the show. He will be a recurring guest.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt in my mind.
I was really glad that he kind of explained the entire picture behind the Milwaukee tweet. That was like, I thought that one day there would be a 30 for 30 behind that tweet.
We just did it.
And I think we did it right
we
now
just did it.
Better than a documentary could have. So good job us.
I understand. I mean, I'm addicted to breaking news. So, I love to break news. When someone dies, I will call, like, I'll text friends, I'll call my parents, be like, yo, this person died. Love it.
Well, you kind of broke Prince's death on Part of My Take.
Yes, I did. Yeah. It was exhilarating.
You get a nice rush out of it. So thanks to Peter, and he did confirm that he wears boxer briefs.
Big news. Maybe me undies, but they... No,
we
don't have an ad.
We don't say that. Can we bleep that out?
Yeah, we'll
bleep
that
out. I don't want to give them free advertising.
All right, let's get to our segments. We're going to start with Witch Hunt.
Okay.
Our first witch hunt was maybe the most successful witch hunt we've ever done, which I'm not happy about, but I'm happy that it went well. I'm not happy that it went well at my expense.
You're happy that the content got out there,
yes.
But you're not happy that Jake Arrieta had to respond to allegations.
So Jake Arrieta, we did the witch hunt. You claimed that he was on steroids. It then, like 3 days later, became a huge news story. Not saying we started it, but as far as I know, we were the first. It was the first show I heard it say.
Broussard style,
I'm going to Broussard it. So this witch hunt, I would like to get caught on. Steph Curry's hurt. Chris Paul's hurt. Blake Griffin's hurt. You know who's never missed a playoff game?
Who's that?
LeBron James.
But LeBron James has always been huge. Do you think that he's been doing steroids this whole time?
LeBron James is rich enough to have rich guy steroids, which are different than like regular guy steroids.
So are you saying that he's just doing steroids this year? Because I know he's had a really
always
good second half of the
always,
season.
Always. Always has been doing steroids, probably since the day he was born. I've never seen a more clear steroid case in my life than LeBron James.
Do you think he got all those tattoos when he was in high school to cover up the track marks on his
Yeah, body? I wouldn't doubt it. He's never been injured. He takes weird vacations to Miami every now and then. Everyone knows that if you want steroids, you go to San Diego or Miami. You got to get close to Cuba or Mexico.
San Francisco.
You can
do Balco too.
Yep, Balco.
Now the Miami, that was where A-Rod's guy was, right?
Yes.
Huh.
So
that all the pieces are starting to fit together for
I'm
me
just
now.
Saying, at someone out there, start looking into this. LeBron James, I'm not saying he's done steroids, but it's very clear to me that he's done a lot of steroids.
I hope that LeBron hears this, and I know for a fact that he'll hear it because he's the kind of guy that he Googles himself.
Yes.
And can you imagine how exhausting that must be to Google your own name if you're LeBron James? But I'm sure that he does it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And
he probably has someone whose only job, he pays him like $50,000 a year to Google LeBron James and then bring him the results he needs.
A report
so
every day.
So let's hope that this one gets to the top.
Yeah, LeBron James, steroid user.
Steroids plus LeBron James plus Google plus image search.
Plus, possibly.
Plus audio file. I think that will catch
Let's
on.
Go
Do you have
his
one?
Lap. I kind of like your LeBron James take, to be honest. You never hear about guys making accusations against hockey players. So I feel like we should find a hockey player that – what goalie is standing on his head?
Okay.
Is there a goalie that's standing on his head
Adderall.
Yeah.
Well, yep.
I know I don't follow hockey that closely, but I know that there's always one good goalie in the playoffs. And whoever that guy is this year – you want to go Holtby? Brendan Holtby?
Yeah.
Holtby is using Adderall.
Okay. It's witch hunt complete. Everyone just go and find out some more information and get back to us. Let's do quickly parental advisory. It was a good night for it because of the tonsil stuff. Let's get some hot takes from your parents. Here was a couple. I got four for us. The first one starts with the dad just saying dumbass. Obviously talking about tonsil. This is the craziest social media thing ever. We get to watch live how bad it can bite someone in the ass. I don't know why the dad said Gruden and Riddick were awesome. He just loves Gruden.
Yeah, that's a dad move.
And he said, I hope he doesn't get drafted, talking about Tunsil. And then his son replied, same, so dumb. And the dad came back with, he's going to have the guy who leaked it killed, and he can share a cell with Aaron Hernandez.
That's
I love
it
when
together.
Dads can just link in like a three-year-old story.
But in all fairness, like I wouldn't be surprised if the guy that leaked this does end up dead.
Yeah. No, he
like,
should.
Like, that's something that could get you killed.
And he should. He should, to yeah. be honest. Like, if we're in the trust tree right now, this guy deserves death.
What else? What is that guy going to do to redeem himself? He's just going to do this type of shit to somebody else later, right?
He's a scumbag.
If he winds up, like, in a ditch somewhere, like,
yep.
No one's going to cry about that.
Yep. This one's simple. Gas mask. Those things aren't toys. Dad's right on that one. And then the son replied, he was just trying to get high faster, I guess. And the dad replied, well, now he's feeling awfully low. And then, ha, 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 at his own joke, in the own text. That's good dad.
It's a
that's
good
dad stuff.
My favorite dad so far is the one that like was really upset about misusing a tool.
Yeah,
that,
you're right.
That's the best
like, that's that, that gas mask could have saved lives.
Right.
oh, man. Nope, this one's too racist. Okay. I would have liked this left tackle that's falling, the dad replies. The weed guy, son says, yeah, but he's supposed to be like the best guy in this draft. Dad replies simply, the weed guy. And then the son replies, yeah. And the dad says, not after that weed mask. Done. I like this.
He's done with Laramie.
And then the son replies, oh, come on, LOL. And the dad just goes back to the weed guy. He's just so mad about the weed guy.
Yeah, it's like he spent his whole fatherhood was telling this kid not to smoke weed, and now he's so disappointed because his kid is looking up to a weed guy.
A weed guy.
Yeah.
A weed guy.
We had that talk, son.
Yeah. Come on. We did that. Let's go to Jimbo's. Or no, you have a Hank. Explains it.
Explain it to Hank?
Explain it to Hank. He's got some things that
we're going
to
reverse.
School him on. Yeah.
This was inspired by my trip to Chicago. It's one of those things that sometimes I don't know if I'm an idiot or it's just one of those things that people just accept it.
Let us decide.
Without actually thinking about it, but I don't understand the physics of planes staying in the air.
I don't think the pilots really understand the they know, like, they have a checklist that they go through and they say if you do all these things the plane will fly, but I don't think anyone really knows besides like the guy that makes all the planes,
man. That's like you have like a dangerous mind. Like, those are things you shouldn't think about. You should just let them be. Do you know what I mean?
Kind of. I mean, you're going 30,000 feet in the air and you're just trusting that a plane's just going to coast. Well, I don't.
Have you ever seen a bird fly?
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's like that.
But just heavier.
A lot heavier.
A little bit heavier.
Now, here's one that'll freak you out is how do aircraft carriers float when they've got like 20 planes on top of them?
Whoa. Hank.
But that's just on the water. It's just like,
yeah, but it's like a shitload of metal, right?
That's a good point. Like, stuff floats on the water. So
yeah, okay, that's good. Oh, yeah, right. Stuff, myth busted.
Yeah.
Are we just getting all this in our windows open? I honestly think, Hank, you need to just take a nap. That's the kind of shit that, like, we don't pay you to think about those things. If that makes sense.
That's above your pay grade.
Yeah. Thinking about how planes stay in the air. I don't need my producer thinking about that. I need him producing. So leave that up to NASA and whoever else.
So
I don't even think about that.
So the explanation is to take a nap.
Yes, take a nap.
Yeah, just,
take a nap and chill out.
Just relax.
Yeah, just chill. Have a beer. Oh, we do have one that we missed. We have to do Michael Wilbon's name drop of the week, presented by Michael Wilbon. He golfed with Obama once. No big deal.
Okay.
So we're going to try to use a Wilbon drop every time we do it. So here's the Wilbon drop.
Barry Bonds, to the point one evening at a dinner, pulled his chair up to me and said, I didn't do any of this. And I said, no, we're having dinner. I don't want to talk about this. I didn't do any of this. Barry Bonds.
Right.
Okay, so
I'm Lance Armstrong saying I didn't do this.
Who does on the phone? It's a private, private declarations of innocence.
He name dropped Arietta, Bonds, and Lance Armstrong all within 20 seconds.
Now, was he hanging out with all three of them at the same time?
It was like a
No, it was he just combined them all.
He just wove them into one magnificent tapestry of name dropping. You go into Wilbon's name drop vortex and you come out and you're like, who do I know? What did I do? I had those seats. That's basically what happens.
If you ask Michael Wilbon the question of like who's the most famous person on your phone, he gives you a 10-minute answer.
Yes.
He gives you a power ranking of the top 10.
All right. So, Hank, we're all involved in this one. This is a Chicago one because we were all out here all week. So how was your week, guys?
It was pretty good. We've been traveling around a lot, doing a lot of like interviews, a lot of stuff for the podcast. It's
been
busy.
Yeah. Cool.
What about you?
It was cool. Yeah. We did a video today. Just ran into John Clayton. He gave me a little nod. ESPN.
That's pretty cool. I met him downstairs after the Super Bowl, like before Cam Newton came
back.
Okay,
cool.
Before I interviewed Newton.
I also, we met Antoine Walker on Tuesday night. Talked to him for a while.
Oh, who's that?
Basketball player.
Gave me one of those. He didn't just give me daps. He gave me like a dap hug. So, yeah. I mean.
Oh, okay. He spit in my drink a little bit.
And so he's about, you say he plays basketball?
He used to play basketball, yeah. Yeah. So okay. That wasn't a big deal. He knows me.
Oh, you know what?
We've worked together.
Potential Hall of Famer,
You talk to a guy. I was trying to talk to Bart Scott. And I saw you talking to some.
How did that go?
There.
Did you talk to him?
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked for like a few seconds.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
He said he'd give me his number to be on the podcast, and then we didn't ever connect on that. Anyways, so yeah, then we kind of went home.
All right, I was at ESPN. We went to the ESPN party. You guys went with me, but I was behind the VIP line, so you guys weren't with me. I met Dave Wannstedt. Tom Waddle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just some Bears legends. It's not a big deal, though, because like when you're in Chicago, they're just everywhere. That's and then cool. I don't know if I told you this story, but – oh, no, you guys were standing right next to me. I saw Mike Dunleavy, and he gave me a little head nod. So, but it wasn't a big deal. Like, you guys are guests in my city, so I'm not trying to, you know, showboat, but I did see more people and talk to more people than you guys did.
I was out actually like behind the ESPN thing today, and McShay and I talked for a little bit. When they were doing their live hit. That was
who?
Todd McShay. That was kind of cool.
Dave's friend.
Yeah, Dave's friend, Todd McShay.
Yeah,
He was wearing a blanket. He thought it was pretty tough because I wasn't wearing a shirt.
Okay, All right, yeah. We know him. Yeah. We did a video. Hank and I did a video with him. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. We've known him for how many years, Hank?
3 years.
Yeah, I mean, okay,
no
whatever.
No big deal.
All right, and that was Michael Wilbon, name drop of the week. I'm going to say I was a winner, but that's okay. You'll get me next week, maybe. Yeah. Probably not because – I don't know. I'll probably run into like Kyle Wong or something. Wait, but that was Michael Wilbon's name drop of the week.
The segment's over, Dan. That was a real name drop that Dan threw in at the end. That was a Beyonce name drop.
That was an extra. That was me going psycho T on us and buying the extra scratch tickets. All right. We have Jimbo's and then we'll wrap it up. Jimbo's.
We got a lot of Jimbo's.
Okay.
First Jimbo is one I think we just got to address straight up is the number of people who were fooled by the Dr. James Andrews.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Shame on you guys, the listeners.
We Jimbo'd the audience big time. If you listen to the interview, we clearly said is Dr. James Andrews, PhD of information sciences?
Sciences at South Florida.
Yeah. So that's on you. You should listen to our show more carefully next time.
Yep. Yep. And like when we said, hey, when's Kyle Schwarber going to be back? And he was like, I don't know, 6 months.
Yeah.
That should have been a tip-off that this wasn't the premier ACL and MCL doctor in the world.
When we asked him if Robert Griffin's healthy, and he goes, he never looks healthy.
Yeah,
there's something wrong with his eyes.
Should have been a tip off. Yeah. So we're throwing a Jimbo on everyone listening right now.
All right, here we go. I had a few beers, came home, decided to open a can of tuna. Was too drunk to use my can opener, so I decided to use a butcher's knife instead.
Oh, no.
7 stitches later, I learned to never drink and eat tuna.
Can I just say that's not a Jimbo? Because he should have lost his hand.
Like, that's Darwin at work?
Yeah, he actually came out ahead. Right. If you handed me a knife and a tuna can, and I was blackout drunk and said, you got to open this, if I'm getting out of that with 9 fingers, that's a win.
Yeah.
This is from one of our girl listeners, Maggie. She was feeling...
Women.
Yeah. Women.
Ladies.
Sorry.
Female listeners. Yeah. All these are anything Science. Except what you said is acceptable.
Chicks even work.
Was feeling generous today, so I gave a homeless man on the subway a few bucks. He wasn't homeless. Needless to say, he was wildly offended.
Maggie.
That's pretty good.
Yikes. Yeah, just handing people money?
Yeah. What is that guy doing in the first place? Like, trying to make everybody else on the train look bad? You don't give money. Like, if somebody comes up and yells at you on a bus, like, give me $5, you don't give that person money.
and you don't turn down money.
Well, yeah, that's
that's really the guy's problem.
Would you be offended if somebody gave you money?
I'd just be like, okay, thanks.
We got actually like four or five of these, but this kid was doing a group project with four other people, all crowded around a computer, and he typed in A, and Audrey Bitone, full body fishnet came up. The two guys laughed. Two girls were disgusted, and he has to meet with them three times a week.
Audrey Bitone, too, is like, you're really going into it. Like, there's a lot. She's got a lot going on.
One guy dropped his phone between his seat and the center console, didn't have a stick.
That's big time, Jimbo.
Heard that story a million times. That is like, that's a classic heartbreak.
Be on the lookout, by the way, folks. There may be a car stick in the future.
Our R&D department's working on it, trying to figure out.
We got to get a prototype.
Trying to figure out the measurements.
There may be a moment in the not so distant future.
Yeah.
It's late. We've had a long day.
If you can't tell, we've been really busy today.
Yeah, in the not so distant future, where you listening right now, probably in your car, can be an owner of a Pardon My Take car stick.
It's going to be amazing. Next.
Woke up with a hickey and thought I got lucky. Turns out my friend chokeslammed me.
Ah. So did he like... Wait, let's go to the moment where he wakes up.
Sweet.
Okay, so he wakes up. There's nobody in his bed, obviously. He goes into the bathroom, sees his neck, and he's like,
sweet.
Sweet.
Like, high fives himself in the mirror.
And then he walks out, and his friends are like there in the house. He's like, check this out.
Yeah. I got this real hot chick last night.
I must have gotten so lucky.
And then someone pulled up like their Facebook and was like, no, we posted this video of you getting chokeslammed.
Actually, you passed out in the fireplace again.
What else?
All right, last one. My buddy had a podcast with Kurt Schilling, thought it was an exclusive. Turns out every other news outlet had the same stories before, and they all got picked up and went viral, not his.
Oh,
that's the worst one.
That's a big time Jimbo.
Like, how great was he feeling before he found out that
he thought I can wait to release this. I got the Kurt Schilling exclusive. And then, no one else is talking to him.
Get cucked by Breitbart. That's a bad day.
Brutal. Brutal.
I'd probably quit my job.
I would too. I mean, you're just not good at it. So that's really the problem here. All right. Our own Jimbos. I'm going to start. I apparently have been saying that Drake is going to release his album at an unknown date. And unbeknownst to me, he has a very specific date that he has said many, many times, which, Hank, you told me now. I've done this for like 2 weeks now. I've just been like, who knows when the Drake album is going to be dropped? Mm-hmm. And then finally this morning, Hank's like, you keep saying that, but everyone knows it's April 29th. So that's my Jimbo. I look really, it's one where I look really old. And I'm trying not to like, I'm old, but I'm trying not to look like dad old.
It sounds to me like you just got Beyonce and Drake confused.
Probably.
And you turned the album release into like one thing.
It's simple. They're both artists.
Yeah, I guess.
Black people.
My Jimbo of the week is.
Wait, let me do that again. Wait.
Yeah.
That it's easy mistake. All artists look alike.
Fair enough. My Jimbo is I flew into Chicago and I didn't pack a jacket.
And Chicago is
it was like 45.
We're not out of the woods in Chicago till like July 4th.
Yeah. So my thing is whenever I fly in from a place, I always assume the weather's going to be the exact same where I land.
Nope.
As it is where I take it. Cause like Hank, I don't really understand air travel that well. And so I arrive and it's 45 degrees and rainy.
Yep. And it's been classic Chicago because 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago, it was 80 degrees and beautiful. Now winter is basically back. And like I said, the only time you can trust Chicago weather is like July 4th to Labor Day.
You know what they say about weather in Chicago? If you don't like it, wait 15 minutes. They say that about every single city in America, by the way. I have never been to a city where they haven't told me that. Your city is not special. You have the same fucked up weather as everyone.
I was just going to let you keep going and see how long you were going to talk after that joke. That was a good joke, though.
No, it's not a good joke. It's just that every goddamn town in America says it and they think it's their own.
Yeah. True. No, but it was. True I in actually Boston. Like that joke. I do like that joke.
It's true in Boston. Yeah. Hank says it's true.
It's
in
also
Boston.
True in Austin.
And in Chicago.
In Chicago. We all, hey.
What are the odds?
We're all not that different after all.
Good. My Jimbo is that I'm moving out of my apartment at the end of the month, and I completely forgot I had to clean it until my landlord texted me today asking if it was clean because someone is coming to see it, and it's just a mess. So
what was your plan? You were just like, I don't even have to, once the lease is up, it's not my responsibility anymore.
Well, I don't have a lease. It's just month to month.
Oh, then it's not never your responsibility.
Yeah. So he was just like, I kind of felt bad because he was like, oh, someone's coming by to see it. Like, is your apartment clean? And
you should just be like, fuck that.
That's
man.
Your job. Yeah. Like, it's not your job to get this place leased. He's a landlord.
Is your like stuff still there?
Oh, yeah. My stuff's everywhere. It's okay, when dirty dishes, clothes on the ground, beer cans.
What's the trash situation like?
Gross.
You left. You came to Chicago with like full trash in your house?
No, I mean, no, but. No, it's, I didn't empty
sounds
it.
Like you did.
I didn't empty
there's
it.
A fair amount of trash laying
you
around.
Know what, Hank? You should just reply to your landlord and be like, hey, Mike Florio told me my brain isn't developed till I'm 25, so not on me.
Not responsible for my actions or words.
Until I'm 25.
Yep.
All right. That's it. We got anything else?
I think we're good, man. I think let's just rock this into Monday.
Oh, great guest on Monday. We have, for all Bengals fans out there, we have AJ Green from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Huge week. And yeah. Matter of fact, we have some huge, huge guests.
Wednesday's guest next week could be the best interview we do. It's the most anticipated guest probably in Barstool history, but we can't say it because he might be flaky until we actually talk to him.
I'm calling my shot right now. It's going to happen. It's going to be great.
I have his number, not to brag.
Shoot him a text real quick.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Oh, and make sure you check out podcastawards.com. You have till Saturday. Nominate us, sports and recreation category, and subscribe to Pardon My Take on iTunes. Leave a review if you like it. Tell your mother, tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your father. Let's get this thing going. Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Woo!
No better to be safe than sorry.